fall is a vibe. So, what's yours? Do you go wild? Or get a little nostalgic? Do you like to cozy up indoors? Or kick it outdoors? Whatever you fall for, get shoes that get you. We've got the trend. You bring the vibes. DSW, let us surprise you.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
As far as the Yankees, look, they almost had a perfect weekend, and all you can do right now if you're the Yankees is farm your own land. You can't worry about what the Rays are doing as they continue to have a tremendous season. You can't worry about what the Red Sox are doing, and they're on an all-time here, even with the trip up against the A's over the weekend where they lost 2 out of 3. All the Yankees can focus on is themselves. And we know the weaknesses. We know the strengths. Here's the good news. The Yankees have a very soft schedule coming up and a schedule that they could take advantage of. They got the Mariners in town who are so, they've given up. They're gutless, heartless, just absolute, they can't hit at all, they stink. That is a ready, made-to-order opponent for the Yankees that they should take full advantage of. The Yankees match up very well against Seattle, and that's even when Seattle's playing good baseball. So this is an easy series for the Yankees. Then you have some combination. I think it's Toronto, then Baltimore, then Toronto again. So 4 straight series against teams with under 500 record. So this is an opportunity for the Yankees to farm their own land, go on a run, build off of a, what should have been a sweep, but still, because, you know, Cam Schlittler pitched an absolute gem, and the 10th inning yesterday was pathetic, to say the least. Spencer Jones gave you nothing at bat. Then McMahon gave you nothing at bat. But all in all, especially with the win on Friday night, which felt like the win of the year for the Yankees, you came out of that series against Atlanta with the winner's side of the purse. Now you get 4 series in a row, because you get Toronto twice, with under 500 records. So an opportunity, and then you get in Houston, and you have Boston coming up, so then obviously it'll stiffen up, but you have an opportunity here to get fat. And like I said, that's all you can do is farm your own land. My feeling is, with a month and a half left in the season, when we get down to the last week or so, it's going to be extremely, extremely tight between all three teams. Red Sox, Yankees, Rays. It's going to come down to the margins. It's going to come down to the head-to-head matchups. And this is why when, you know, you're already down to Tampa here as far as a tiebreaker, it's why these head-to-head matchups are critical. We saw it last year. The Yankees lost out on the division by one game as far as, you know, the tiebreaker. And that could easily happen again. Because we've seen this movie before with the Yankees. Hot start, June Boone swoon, get hot again at the end of the year, mid to late August through September. So, well, we are in mid-August, so this is right on schedule for the Yankees to get hot. And I feel like they will, especially with this easy schedule that they got coming up. You think the Yankees can't hit? Wait till you see Seattle. That game could go 25 innings, they'll score one run. Or a game could go 25 innings and they'll score one run. They can't hit at all, is the bottom line. Seattle. So it's an opportunity here, a big one for the Yankees. And one that I think they will take advantage of. Now, as far as the negatives, look, Jazz Chisholm Jr. is having an awful year. I suggested last night, and I'll suggest it again, and I know Austin Wells is not exactly inspiring any kind of confidence offensively throughout the year, but I would move Jazz Chisholm to the 9th spot. He's doing nothing. He's just killing you in the middle of the order. Chisholm, I think barring a great month and a half here and a great postseason, he's going to be gone. I think the Yankees are already planting the seeds, which is, forget Jazz sticking around, but planting the seeds already the Yankees are for Anthony Volpe to be the second baseman, which is just ludicrous. I mean, Anthony Volpe, is, as far as my estimation, has seen his last days in a Yankee uniform, and that should be the case, but I can already feel the, well, Anthony Volpe will be a second baseman now for us, with Lombard obviously manning shortstop. But it's just, you get the vibe like Jazz is sort of playing out his last couple of months here as a Yankee, and he's just been atrocious. He's got to be moved out in the order. He's hurting the Yankees. He's hurting this lineup, which isn't scoring a lot of runs to begin with. And just think, the Yankees didn't want to trade for Luis Arraez because of Jazz Chisholm Jr. Now that looks just foolish, because Arraez was everything the Yankees need, and Jazz continues to struggle, and it feels like we've been talking about for months. I mean, this is a topic we were having literally in the beginning of the year. Well, Jazz Chisholm, he's struggling, and, you know, maybe it's the contract. Maybe he's just putting a lot of pressure on himself because he wants to get the bag, and he's in his prime, and this is his opportunity to cash in. And sometimes the weight of a contract year, that pressure, causes you to have a bad year. This was a conversation we were having in April and May, and now here we are in August, and we're still talking about Jazz Chisholm having a bad year. So at some point, it's just, well, he's having a bad season. And it, outside of a few clutch moments, he's been, Jazz, very unreliable. Now, there have been signs over the weekend where Aaron Boone has benched Jazz or pinch hit for him. Perhaps this is the sign of the Yankees doing something drastic with Jazz and moving him down in the order. But I certainly would if I was Boone. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Chris joins us from Los Angeles. He wants to talk Yankees. What's going on, Chris?
What's going on, Tommy? Hey. How are you doing, my brother?
What's happening?
I'm a big fan. First time we're ever speaking.
Appreciate you.
I want to talk Yankee baseball real quick. David Mamet, right? He's the writer of Glengarry Glen Ross. Very famous playwright, genius writer. You've definitely known some of his other movies. He wrote the screenplay, which was the adaptation of his own play.
Yes.
They actually just did a Broadway revival. Great, great, great movie. Great writers.
Yeah, no, the acting obviously is amazing. It's a tremendous cast, but the, you know, great actors can only go so far. The words on the paper were insane. Like, great. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Indeed, sir. I listen on the Odyssey app all the time. I hear sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm listening to a recorded version of another show. Sometimes I'm half asleep. I think it was you yesterday or maybe saying that, you know, you're not high on Spencer Jones. I just wanted to hear you talk about that. Like, when I think I heard you said it last night, I was like surprised because I thought he had a great series. I'm not like saying that the guy's having anywhere near of a launch that Lombard is having, but just I don't know, like he had a huge game. What was that? The first or second game?
Yeah, I don't like him overall RBIs. Offensively as a player. I love his defense. I just the all or nothing.
You were like
swing.
You were saying like you're out on him, like get rid of him. I'm saying like
no, not necessarily get rid of him, but more that I'm just out on him. Yeah, I can get back in on a guy, but right now I'm just out
on
him.
Get back in.
Yeah.
We can get you back in, Tommy.
Yeah, just when you think I'm out, you could pull me back in. But right now I would say I'm not in the Spencer Jones business. I do think he's going to get, he's not going to be a part of, like, if these guys come back, Spencer Jones is going to be the odd man out, too.
That's true, of course. I mean, look, but I just thought, like, the way Grisham was playing, I mean, look, obviously he's got a couple, you know, has a couple moments in the, we lost the game, he's had a couple moments in Grisham finally, but he's obviously in a slump, and for a moment there I was saying give Spencer some time. But anyway, I hear what you're saying. Of course, there's no spot for him once you hopefully get everybody back.
Yeah, once Bellinger, Stanton, and Judge are back, you just, there's no room. They're going to have to, it's going to be hard enough getting those guys playing time anyway. Now, look, they could do something drastic and bench Grisham, but I feel like they're going to look at that contract and just say, you know, we're paying them all this money. We believe in the year he had last year, and they're going to stick with Grisham. And Grisham's defense is not good, right? I mean, it's bad. He's having a hard time moving.
Like, I don't get it. I feel like it's like my uncle's out there running around.
He looks old, like old. Like, he just looks like he can't move. Meanwhile, Spencer Jones can get after it out in the outfield.
Anyway. That's really all I got, Tommy. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Chris. No, you weren't dreaming, but that was while you were sleeping last night. I did mention that I was out on Spencer Jones. Just, look, he can win me over, but I don't, the all-or-nothing player, and he looked more overmatched in his first run up here earlier in the year, but I don't look at Spencer Jones offensively and see a winning player. I look at somebody who kind of symbolizes the Yankee fails over the last bunch of years, just that all or nothing power, yes, but strikes out, not a high average. I'm out on that, especially on a team that has a ton of those players already. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Tom. He joins us on Long Island. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how you doing, Tommy?
Good. What's happening?
You know, Yankees are cool. You know, the pitching is great. You know, the hitting isn't too good. The Mets are looking a little better, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, ever since the trade deadline, they have been rolling, especially offensively. And now they're up a 6-2 on Atlanta, I think, in the fourth inning.
Yeah. I don't want to get back. You're talking about Al Pacino movies.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear a Dog Day Afternoon?
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah, that's got to be up there and certainly in the definitely in the top 10. And there are many that say it's in the top 5. I don't know where you would have it ranked, but I'm 100% aware of it and have seen it.
Tommy, the Godfather movies are the top. That's incredible.
Yeah. Except for the third one. The third one was rubbish.
Oh, of course. Did you ever hear of Panic in Needle Park?
That I've never heard of. Panic in Needle Park. No, I have to be honest with you. I've never heard of that movie before.
Write it down. You ever hear of Serpico?
Yes, yes. Serpico actually is another one that I think is very underrated. When you think about movies in general, but also Pacino movies, you don't hear about that one a lot.
Yeah. Did you ever see Devil's Advocate?
Yeah, it's really good too. Oh, Carlito's Way is another underrated one.
Oh, Carlito's Way is great.
Yeah, when you think of some of the great movies of that genre, you don't, maybe you do, but at least in my circles, you don't hear about Carlito's Way, but it is excellent. I don't think it rolls off the tip of the tongue when you say, think of Al Pacino and give me the first 3-4 movies that come to your mind. Carlito's Way doesn't come right off the tongue. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
The first two were Godfather 1 and Godfather 2. You know that, right?
You know? I mean, listen, Tom, I think for sure Godfather 1, but I would put Scarface ahead of Godfather 2. I would. Because you know how greedy do you have to be? You have to have both Godfathers. And when I think of Godfather 2, I think more De Niro. But it's very close. It's a photo finish. But I would put Scarface, not necessarily as far as quality of movie, but just as far as performance, as far as iconic performance, as far as memorable. Because remember, he's playing the same character in all three Godfathers. So you could bundle them all into one, really. To say, well, Godfather 1, Godfather 2, it's like, well, okay, would you separate, this is the first thing that came to my brain, would you separate, you know, Christian Bale in the Batman movies and say, okay, this is how he was in Dark Knight, this is how he was in Batman Begins and Dark Knight Rises, or would you just say Christian Bale is Batman, or Michael Keaton is Batman, or Val Kilmer is Batman, or George Clooney is Batman, I'm trying to go through all the Batmans, Ben Affleck is Batman, Robert Pattinson is Batman, so it's to me, you could just bundle it all into one.
BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing can score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boosts, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boost, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. MLB trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards pay back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage 1, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at Prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But the one you said, I didn't write it down, by the way, folks. I meant to write it down. Something about a park or something. I've literally never heard of that Pacino movie, ever. What was the horror one that he did with Robin Williams? That was pretty good, too. I can't remember the name of that off the top of my head. I'm trying to look it up here. Oh, here it is. No, it's not called The Insider. What the heck was it called? I mean, the internet will remind me. Don't worry. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Positive Tommy here in primetime. Let's go out to Jack in New Jersey. He joins us next. What's up, Jack?
Hey, what's up, Lugie? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
I know there hasn't been a lot to see, but I just wanted to know your thoughts on George Lombard Jr. Thanks.
Yeah, unbelievable. To me, he's the real deal. Defensively, he's been fantastic. And you saw it right out of the gate. I mean, that's the thing. Like, certain guys have an aura. They have a way about them. They look the part. George Lombard Jr. just looks the part. Defensively, the throws, the range. He, to me, is a future Gold Glove winner. Absolutely fantastic at the position. And he was billed that way. You know, oh, Lombard, his defense is just all world. And he certainly showed that in his first week as a major leaguer. Offensively, which you worried, hey, is it not at the same level as his defense? So far, so good as far as the offense. And the leadership, the idea that he's sitting there Saturday after the game and he's quizzing his teammates on the next day's starting pitcher, that tells me that he's a sort of a natural-born leader. He's a guy that eats, sleeps, and breathes baseball. Now, obviously people are going to jump to the, well, he's the next Derek Jeter. He doesn't have to be the next Derek Jeter. He needs to be the first George Lombard Jr. He can't be the first George Lombard because obviously his dad is named George Lombard. So he has to be the first George Lombard Jr. But you don't have to worry about Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter was Derek Jeter, and now George Lombard Jr. is George Lombard Jr. Doesn't always have to be the next of somebody that was great in the organization that they play for. I get trying to draw parallels because of the position, but let Lombard be his own man. And so far, he has passed with flying colors, Lombard. And young players like that, they can provide a spark, they can provide enthusiasm, and they can provide just a shot in the arm that you need as an organization in order to take your game to the next level. Defensively, Lombard miles ahead of Volpe, and so far offensively miles ahead of Volpe, and he's just a fresher breath air. And yeah, there's been a lot of glazing. I mean, he's basically a glazed donut. Yankee fans have been glazing him, but I understand that. I would never, ever, ever get on a fan base for doing that with a young player. That's what makes baseball romantic. That's what we love about it, is you draft a guy, you watch him develop in the minors, and then ultimately he comes up and makes his major league debut, and if he gets out of the gates hot, you know, the hype train builds, and then you have a bunch of hype bros. Which I'm all about the hype. I mean, Positive Tommy is, first of all, I'm an all-time vibes guy. Second of all, I'm all about the hype bros. And right now, the hype bros are really pumping up George Lombard Jr., and I totally get it. He has passed the eye test with flying colors, and he looks like a player. And everything you hear about him, great kid, the leadership qualities that I've already seen from him, and he's super young. So he's wise and mature beyond his years. And he's been put into a situation here where the offense is struggling. The player, or one of the players that manned that position that he has now, was obviously a not fan favorite and somebody that caught a lot of the ire of Yankee fans, that being Anthony Volpe. So on one hand, Lombard walked into a situation where he couldn't fail, because as long as you're not named Anthony Volpe and you're playing shortstop, people are going to love you. But also, on the other hand, hey, we're putting a lot of expectations on you. You're the next prince that was promised. You're the next top prospect that comes out of the Yankee system, and a lot of them have been overhyped and didn't deliver. Can you be the guy? And think about it. All these guys, Volpe, some of these guys that have come through the system, hey, top prospects, they're going to be can't miss, they're going to be great players, and that didn't come to fruition. Meanwhile, Ben Rice flew under the radar. And look at what the player he is. Cam Schlittler flew under the radar. And look, he's having one of the best pitching seasons ever as a Yankee starter. He's going to win the Cy Young if he stays healthy. Schlittler and Rice did not have anywhere near the hype that an Anthony Volpe did, or to the same tune, George Lombard Jr. And yet Schlittler and Rice, I think, are going to be pillars of the Yankee organization for a very long time. Let's go to Ralph in Manhattan. What's going on, Ralph?
The Pacino one you're trying to think of, Insomnia.
Yes, that's what it was.
And that's what I get when, you know, good radio is playing in the background. But hey, You know, I'll tell you something. I tune in, and you pick up on the Al Pacino, and I said, that's right down my, you know, Glenn Ross, is so superbly written,
yep.
Tommy.
Yep.
And, you know, Mamet, to memorize Mamet, you have to be a genius, because the way he writes shotgun style and in and out, and he's a stickler for not paraphrasing. You can't paraphrase a word that Mamet writes, otherwise you get fined if you're an actor.
Right, no ad-libbing.
No, you have to get it on point and everything else. But, you know, the other guy mentioned, I have no sports points, by the way, so bear with me.
Well, you've come to the right place, Ralph. That's good.
And, you know, I'm not really into the Giants or the Jets. But mm-hmm. I will tell you, Serpico, 1973, he paired up with Tony Roberts. And Tony Roberts was so superb. He passed away fairly recently.
Yeah.
And they had such a camaraderie during that film. But you see, New York in the 70s featured. And it's just a beautiful thing to see New York, you know, 53 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful. I'll disagree with you on one thing.
Okay.
Scent of a Woman, they always said he was over the top. Everything he did was bigger than life. But he played that character with a muddled accent. If you notice that, you don't know where that Southern accent's coming from, but he made it work. And Chris O'Donnell and Pacino, the dynamic between the two was fantastic. You didn't care for that film?
It's not so much that I didn't care for it, Ralph. It's, I guess, because I'm such a huge fan of Scarface and Godfather and some of the other work of Al Pacino. Donnie Brasco, which I think is criminally overlooked and underrated. Because you talked about the one he did with Robin Williams. What made that movie, I thought, really appealing was you got to see a kind of a different side of Robin. Now, he did work early on, the Dead Poets Society and some other work where he wasn't Robin Williams, where he's just all over the place. But what I liked about Brasco was the first time you were seeing Johnny Depp in kind of an adult role, where he was like being,
right.
Edward Scissorhands or something like that. So I love mafia movies, but I put those ahead of Scent of a Woman. Not to say Scent of a Woman is bad, but maybe just not necessarily my cup of tea compared to his other work.
Yeah, I got obsessed with that film. I saw it about 100 times. Like, I couldn't get, for some reason, it just, you know, and all the catchphrases were just on the tip of my tongue all the time. You know, Robin Williams in Insomnia and a film called Awakenings, when he played with De Niro, he played a neurologist, and De Niro had this neurological disorder of some kind. Those are the two greatest performances of Williams' career. He died tragically.
Yeah.
I miss the guy like I know the guy. Like, you feel like you know the guy somehow. He had that way about him that you feel like you know him.
Well, he lived his act. He was always Robin Williams. And maybe, you know, he obviously had a lot of personal demons and things of that nature. But I felt like whenever he was in front of his camera, he did his act. Like, he was Robin Williams always.
And here's what happened to, and Tommy also, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
You know, he died in such a manner, they didn't find out till afterwards that he had a dementia of some kind.
Yeah.
He didn't just hang himself. I hate to say that, but he didn't just do that to himself because he was depressed.
Right.
Afterwards, like they do with the football players, Tommy, they delved into his brain and they found out that he actually had a terrible, terrible neurological disease. And that's why he did what he did.
Yeah, but he was just one of the great comedic actors. But also, like we said, his serious roles, Robin Williams, were phenomenal. And I never thought he got the full credit for them, because we always think of how funny he was, and you think of Aladdin, and you think of Mrs. Doubtfire and Hook and all these movies. But as a serious actor, I thought he... And same thing with Jim Carrey.
Yes.
You know, have you seen Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
I got into it. I had a friend who was very into that.
Yeah.
And it was okay. It was okay. Good concept. Interesting concept. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Yeah, no, I just thought Jim Carrey's another guy who we all, and they kind of came up in that sort of same era, at least when I was younger, and I love both of them as comedic actors, but I think their dramatic work in films is on par with their comedy stuff. I think they're both excellent actors, even outside of the comedy realm.
You know, Robin on stage doing his stand-up, I never took to it. When he was on a talk show and he just improvised, and he went nuts, he did something at the Live at the Actors Studio. I don't know if you remember that.
Of course. Yeah, with James Lipton.
He had this one girl in the third row laughing like a hyena, and he was playing to this one girl that was a student there at the New School, and it was superb. You know, his stand up never did it for me. His acting was superb, but his stand-up never did it for me. I don't know why.
You know, we're talking about the tragedy of Robin Williams and also Son of a Woman. You know, another guy that was in that movie that obviously had a tragic sort of end to his life, Philip Seymour Hoffman. I feel like every movie I watch, I'm like, he just pops up, and he was such a great, just, I don't want to say a character actor, because maybe that's a little bit unfair, but just in all the different roles that he had, tremendous. And
well, he played in Death of a Salesman shortly before he passed away, right there in New York. And you know, he didn't really fit that role, but somehow, some way, he made it work. And I he did this one thing, and now it just escaped me. But he was fantastic. You know, they thought he was clean, and he professed to be clean. After he passed away so tragically, they went to his apartment, and he had drugs all over the apartment.
Yeah,
it was just a terrible, terrible situation. But a hell of an actor. What they call Tommy, an actor's actor. That was Hoffman.
Right. Everybody's a favorite actor. You know what, Ralph, what I'm going to do here, because I think it's when I have a take on a movie and perhaps I haven't seen it in a while, I try to rewatch it. And I think I got to do that for Son of a Woman, because it's one of those ones where maybe I watch it. I was having I wasn't locked in on it or whatever the case may be. But that's one I should probably circle back on and do a rewatch of it.
You know what you could do? You go in fresh, Tommy. And you take away all the things that you thought about it in the past, and you just watch it like you're watching it for the first time,
right?
And you're going to find out that the things that he does in that film, you would think the director kind of let him go. You know that he gave him great leeway, because he really just does everything in that film.
And he won Best Actor for that Academy Award.
Yes, he did. 1992.
Yep.
And you know, O'Donnell was just—he was in a masterclass. I mean, O'Donnell was new to the business; he barely did anything in his career yet, and he's cast opposite Pacino, and he just has a masterclass right in front of him.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the call, Ralph. Good movie talk there. And Chris O'Donnell, he kind of, you're saying he was just started off, and then he kind of, his career exploded, and then he kind of, I feel like he dropped off a little bit. I haven't heard a lot from him recently. But yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman, one of my favorite movies of all time, is Almost Famous. Love that movie. I would even go as far as saying it's in my top 10, which, look, as a huge movie guy, it's cracking my top 10. There's a lot of ground to cover. But I love, obviously, Almost Famous, Kate Hudson. Just tremendous. Tremendous. And I did watch that one recently. But yeah, whenever I have a strong take on a movie, and maybe, like I said that with Heat, I just said it with Son of a Woman, perhaps I need to circle back and rewatch that. Because maybe, you know, maybe 23-year-old Tommy, I'm not saying I was 23 when I saw it, but whatever age I was, perhaps views it differently than 41-year-old, soon-to-be 41-year-old Tommy. I think that's it's fair to a movie if you didn't like it as much. But again, it's not that I necessarily hated it, because I didn't. It's just Godfather, Scarface, Donnie Brasco, The Irishman, even Any Given Sunday, Carlito's Way. Those to me stick out more than that one. But look, he won an Academy Award for it. So obviously it was, as far as the Academy or as far as people that rate these sort of things or grade these sort of things, that was in their minds his best performance. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Now, we've given you a little bit of Yankee optimism tonight, but the next caller on the line is definitely in the camp of the pessimistic Yankee fan. So and it was a good weekend for the Yankees, so I'm very curious to hear what our next caller, Teddy in Yonkers, has to say about his beloved Yankees. Teddy, what's going on?
Teddy Numbers is here.
Now, remember, Teddy, you're Teddy Numbers not because you're a bookie, but because you're a math guy. You're a mathematician.
You got it.
Yeah.
And like I said, probability was my specialty. Mm-hmm. And I had to deal with a lot with sample spaces. The sample space, Loogie, I agree with you. Defensively, he looks right prime time, okay? Prime time Deion Sanders for baseball. But we don't know yet, Loogie, for the offense. You can't base it on four games.
Well, what do you want me to base it on?
Well, no, you want to base it on the rest of the season, Loogie.
Well, but we haven't seen the rest of the season yet. Well, so what can I base it on? I have to base it. That's my job, is to base it on something. So all I could do is base it on what I've seen.
So that means if Volpe hit two home runs in his first four games, you would come out and say, oh, man, this is the real deal?
Okay? Yeah, and you probably. And then after that, you'd say, all right, well, he didn't. But also, though, too, with Lombard. And remember, Volpe did get off to a pretty damn good start, but then he fizzled out, injuries, and I think the organization kind of did him dirty. But As far as Lombard, yeah, he looks the part. I'm going off of the sample size. The real deal in a week. Yeah.
Well, I love him defensively, which he has over Volpe. Okay, now here's the question. We're getting tremendous, excellent pitching, outstanding, first-class pitching. But, Loogie,
yeah.
If we don't hit, forget about catching Tampa Bay. There's six games in the loss column already.
Yeah, it's going to be an uphill battle to get there. But you got to worry about your own sort of land and farm your own land and do what's in front of you, as Aaron Boone would say. But, look, if Tampa continues to play the baseball the way they've been playing, Teddy, yeah, you're right. You're not catching them.
Now, let me ask you this question. Don't hang up on me, please.
I won't.
Boston and Yankees, if they finish 2-3 for wild cards, the Yankees have to go to Boston for three games to win two of them. You think they can do that?
Yes, but my confidence level is not very high. Meaning,
I'd be
way more confident if they host the Red Sox. Going to Boston, just that's usually a recipe for disaster for Aaron Boone led teams. Going on the road in a series where they wouldn't have home field or any home field, so they don't have the advantage at all. That's usually a recipe for disaster with Boone.
Do you feel it's an advantage if they? I know they wouldn't do this deliberately, but if they finished as the third wild card, then they would play one of the division leaders, probably either Chicago. Or Texas or Houston.
Yeah, they'll wipe the floor with those teams. Like Texas and even Houston. I know that Houston's given the Yankees problems in the postseason. This is not the Houston Astros that did that to the Yankees. And the Yankees kind of had their way with them in the regular season in recent years. So, yeah, Chicago, Texas, Houston, they don't worry me at all. It's the teams in the AL East, which are usually the teams that you gotta worry about. Look, the Red Sox have eliminated an Aaron Boone-led team in October. So is Tampa. So is Toronto. So the American League East teams are going to be the problem. And, yeah, going to Boston for three in a wild card round, even with that pitching, because, again, you're going to throw three studs there, that's still very, very scary for the Yankees.
I agree with you. Loogie, is there a special reason why you're talking about Pacino and his movies tonight?
There was probably some type of tie-in that I used earlier in the show I know what it was. So earlier in the show, a caller brought up, because I had mentioned last week that Glengarry Glen Ross, to me, and the first time I saw it, I was in like high school, I want to say, to me, it's one of the most underrated, underappreciated movies of all time. And I said, it's peak Pacino. A lot of people don't talk about it and give it the love that it deserves. And then this week, a caller referenced Glengarry Glen Ross based on my reference and then tied it into sports, which kind of sent us down the path of Pacino movies.
Yeah. Okay, I understand. Loogie, who would you rate better, Pacino or De Niro?
Wow. Oh, man. That's an STD. That's a settle the debate. So Teddy has presented us with his STD, and I will help him settle that debate. Because that's... De Niro. Man. It's tough. Because you know what it is? I have conviction there, even though it doesn't sound like it. Like, I believe it's Robert De Niro, but it feels just like you're picking between your favorite children. Because I love both of them as actors, and I love their movies. I just think De Niro's better. And it's one of those things where I can't give you, like, this complex answer about it. I could go through the laundry list of movies. I mean, of course, look, Goodfellas is my favorite movie of all time. And De Niro plays a big role in that, obviously. De Niro more behind the scenes than in front of the scenes in A Bronx Tale, but still incredible. And even the comedic stuff, of course, with Meet the Parents and the one he did with Billy Crystal. Analyze this. But obviously Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, Cape Fear, Love Me Some Casino, Sharon Stone, how you doing? I'll give you a De Niro movie, another one that flies under the radar. And look, it's a rough movie. The subject matter is difficult to watch, to say the least. So if it's one of those things where you can't watch something, like look it up, read about what it's about, and then decide on whether you want to see a movie like this. But a De Niro movie that, to me, is very much flies under the radar, just in general, as a movie. And I believe the setting here is in New York. Let me double check on that one, but I'm pretty sure it takes place in New York, or supposed to take place in New York. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't see it here. But the movie I'm referring to is Sleepers, which, again, the subject matter is, it's tough, but it is excellent. Excellent. Kevin Bacon's in it. I think Brad Pitt's in it, too, I want to say. I haven't seen it in a while. Yeah, Brad Pitt's in it. Excellent. But it's not for the faint of heart. But it's very, very, very good. But yeah, I would say overall body of work, it's close. And they're two of my favorite actors of all time. And I'm glad you gave me those two guys because, you know, the other name you throw in there is like a Marlon Brando. Yes, I've seen Brando movies, but as far as, I feel like you almost have to live it to give a better opinion on it. And plus, you know, movies can be a little bit dated. But that being said, I mean, A Streetcar Named Desire, I mean, stands the test of time. You could watch that movie now and still think it's one of the best movies of all time. And of course, Godfather. But I haven't seen enough of the catalog of Brando to give a stronger opinion on it. But definitely De Niro and Pacino. But I would give the slight nod to De Niro. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Positive Tommy here in prime time. We will get more into the Yankees for sure in this hour. Mets, they're still going. So fourth or fifth inning, once that game wraps up, we'll take your calls on the Mets as well. Football, giant expectations I have going into the season. Preseason is back. You can call me Tommy Football this week. Giants, Jets, really whatever on your mind. You can hit us up at 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy, it's been a rough week or so for the Bills. First, they unveiled those gaudy monstrosity uniforms. And I'm not someone that always thumbs their noses at an alternate uniform or, I mean, there's some that are, you know, some uniforms I think should be sacred and they shouldn't change them up too much. And we obviously know the ones that are, and even those have had a little bit of tweaks here and there, but as far as alternate jerseys, but the Bills one is awful. And then you have the new stadium and apparently there's obstructed views. And I saw a couple of things on social media where some of the Bills fans are upset that they don't have the, you know, the urinals where everybody sort of does their business into one area, which I always found to be a little bit of a, you know, I mean, there should be separation of church and state there a little bit. I don't, you know, this is, we don't have to act like there should be a urinal and a guard up. At least I don't, because I think I went to one event like some type of thing on Long Island where, yeah, what was it? Something with race cars. And they had that situation. I think it's called a trough. But it was like, okay, this is a little much for me. It's a little much for me. There's some things that you see that you wish you never saw. Let's put it that way. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The other thing is Carl Anthony Towns. And I talked about this a lot after the Knicks won the championship and once the confetti, you know, fell and once the parade was over and the dust had settled and it was time to start thinking about, still basking in the glory of the championship, but starting to think about next year. And one of the things I talked about was Carl Anthony Towns, you know, being up for an extension and how I want to see that get done. And I think Carl Anthony Towns is a player that will age well because he can shoot. You know, I don't feel the same way about Giannis because Giannis has never developed a jump shot. And we saw this with Russell Westbrook. Look, the older you get, when you lose that burst, when you lose that athleticism, you will drop off dramatically as a player. you will not age well. And I think that's going to be the case for Giannis. I don't think that's going to be the case for Karl-Anthony Towns because he is a great shooter. He's one of the great shooting big men of all time. And much like Jalen Brunson, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns, I think, has to do business with the Knicks, take a little bit of a hometown discount. But you know what, Carl, you saw what it was like in Minnesota. You've seen what it's like in New York. New York is just different. And if you can continue to build on your legacy and win championships here in New York, it's going to mean more for not only your career, but your post-playing career. And that's really the brilliance of Jalen Brunson. Hey, I take a little less now, but I'm going to make it up on the back end, you know, post-career. And also, the less you take, the more money there is to spend throughout the team, and that means you're going to most likely have a better team, which helps you win more games, which helps you win more championships, which helps your legacy, and it helps you, like I said, your post-playing career. This comes from Ian Begley about Karl-Anthony Towns and a potential contract extension. Quote, if I had to take a guess, the two sides will reach an agreement. Towns clearly loves New York. Maybe he can make more money with another team next summer. But basically, Ian went on to say, yeah, he thinks both sides are going to come to an agreement here, which is music to my ears. And I do think it's the right thing to do. And it's something I've talked about, you know, not every day here because basketball has sort of gone to the background a bit because of baseball. And obviously now with football here as the preseason for the Giants and Jets begin this weekend. But Karl-Anthony Towns and his contract extension has always sort of been in the back of my mind throughout the summer. And I keep waiting for, quite frankly, the news to break because for me, it was priority number one, really, you know, after running everything back, you know, sort of looking to the future, it was priority number one. All right, you got to get Karl-Anthony Towns locked up here because I want to keep this starting five together as long as humanly possible. That is my wish. That is my hopes. That is my dreams. OG's not going anywhere. Jalen, we know, is locked up. Mikal's locked up. Josh will ultimately be locked up for a long period of time. Now it's about Karl-Anthony Towns. The other thing is, too, and I think it affected Carl, and I said this a lot throughout the year, the first half of basketball for Karl-Anthony Towns this year was not good. It was his worst basketball of his Knick career, and possibly even his NBA career. And I felt like the Giannis talks and everything swirling around the Knicks, in particular Karl-Anthony Towns and his future, I think it got to Cat. I think it bothered him, and I think it affected his play. And something like his future again here and whether or not he'll be gone in a year or so, I think that also could affect his play. So if you lock him up for a long-term deal, he does it because sometimes I think he gets into his own head. If Karl-Anthony Towns feels secure, he feels like he's going to be here, a part of this team, a part of the starting five for many years to come, I think you'll get the very best of Karl-Anthony Towns, which is exactly what you got in the second half. Defensively, I think it was the best we have seen from Cat in his career. We all know what happened when the offense started to run through him. And look, Carl showed his assertiveness by going to Mike Brown and saying, look, I think the offense needs to run through me. That's exactly what ended up happening. And the Knicks took off like a rocket ship and ultimately won the championship. So I'm happy to hear, and Ian's Begley's great. He's very plugged in. So if he's saying that, I feel very good about it, that Cat is going to ultimately sign on the dotted line here for an extension this summer. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Mickey joins us from Dumont. What's up, Mickey?
Yo, what's going on, my brother? How are you?
What's happening? Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you too, pal. You know you're my boy for life. All right, so exactly, you took the words out of my mouth. Even though Cat's from this area and he was born where they, he was raised as an only child and he's soft. And I'm not saying soft, but he has like a soft heart. He was raised by a mom and a dad, and he was cuddled. And when he came here as something that he grew up like, oh, my God, I'm going to be a Knick. And, like, that got to him, like, that's going to, like, my ultimate dream came true. And then all of a sudden, we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And then all of a sudden, this Cat talk starts coming. And then he's in his head, like, wow, my mom just died. I settled down here to my favorite team, right?
Yep.
And now they're telling me that I'm trading me when I just brought them to the Eastern Conference Final, which no other team can take it to them. So let me take it a little farther, Lugie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Carl, yo, one-on-one, okay, Giannis is winning, okay? But in the paint, running up and down the court, playing as many minutes, doing what he has to do, being rough in the paint, willing to take the fouls, willing to do that, Giannis is not at that stage in his life anymore.
No
he
way.
He cannot
agree.
Control of the game.
Yep.
And then when Jalen needs to sit down or Josh needs to sit down, Carl Anthony Towns will either take it to the rim, right?
Yep.
Or he'll give us 9 or 12 points on the 3-point line, and then all of a sudden Jalen could come back in, and then all of a sudden we're down 2, and we could be right back in the game. So we don't need like a 4-year extension. I mean, 2-year extension. I think we need to give this guy a 3-year extension with a plausible 4-year. Like, yo, you're our guy, dude. You're our guy.
Yep.
This team that we hear is our guy, and we're going to keep it together. And our whole goal is to win not just 1, but 2. And cement you boys into Knicks history. Because Knicks fans, like me, you, Sal,
We'll get you back up there, Mick. Don't worry. All right, we're up. Go ahead.
All right, brother. And all I'm saying is that we need to keep this, and we can't mess around with this.
I totally agree with you, Mickey. I think you said it. You nailed it on the head. You don't want to mess around with it. I appreciate you, bro. Good to hear from you. Yeah, to me, keeping this starting five together is so important. And we're sharing a brain there, Mickey. I get it. Some people, they get in their feelings, and that's okay. And some people label that as, almost in a negative way, you aren't, Mickey, but some people, oh, he's soft, he's this, he's that. I just think he's aware sort of his surroundings. And I said the exact same thing you did, Mick, early in the year. This is Carl Anthony Towns' sort of hometown team. He gets in here now, and all of a sudden, Giannis talk, we're moving away from Kat, and it's like, I'm sure that bothered him. He's human. And I think it affected his play. And once the trade deadline came and went, Carl Anthony Towns realized he was still going to be a Knick, and you saw the best version of him. And I think you will see the best version of him once he gets his extension. And I don't think by any means he is going to age poorly as a player, because he's always going to have that jump shot. And a jump shot never goes away. Where your athleticism will go away, your burst, your speed, your physicality, athleticism, things of that nature, that will deteriorate the older you get. And that's why you've seen Russell Westbrook bounce around, because he can't hit jump shots anymore. Giannis, I think, will absolutely fall into that category as well, because he never developed the jump shot. Didn't have to, because of how great he is athletically, and he's one of the greats of his generation. But Carl Anthony Towns has that game, that refined game, that will age better than most people his size. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. I feel like this, we've kind of mixed in a little bit of a settled the debate, STD kind of thing here tonight. And Jay in White Plains has one for me right now. What's going on, Jay?
Hot or not?
Yeah, we got you cut off there a little bit. Who's hot or not? You're asking me for who?
Bridget Moynihan.
Now, what made you think of her? Is it Tom Brady's on your mind? What made you think of Bridget Moynihan? Just in general?
Just in general. We were talking about, best-looking women at work today who were once models that became actresses.
Gotcha. I would say hot. Yeah, put me down for hot.
Yes, and I'm into tall brunettes big time.
Yeah, I'm into really anything, But no, the tall brunettes is good. Redheads is good. Blondes is good. I don't really get nuts about the hair color, I'll put you that way. But yeah, no, I would say hot. Speaking of Tom Brady, I saw him on some yacht looking all ripped with some, I think... we don't know who the blonde is that he's on the yacht with. It's like, it must be nice. It's just like, what a life to lead when you're older. You're in your 40s, you're jacked up, you're making a ton of money, and you're on some yacht. Nah, we don't know who this blonde is that's on the yacht with him. Must be nice. Next time you're driving your kids around to soccer practice or your wife is nagging you about something, just think Tom Brady's on a yacht with some 24-year-old blonde. Some people win the DNA lottery. What can I tell you? 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours here on The Fan. Let's go to Dan. He joins us from Fairfield, Connecticut. What's up, Danny?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
I love to jump in on this Al Pacino conversation, because I thought in the beginning it was Al Pacino. So I'll just start by saying a caller said Al Pacino or Robert De Niro.
Right.
So I will say... I don't know if you haven't seen Midnight Run with Robert De Niro, but that's one of the great Robert De Niro movies.
I have not seen that one.
That that is, I think, probably his best movie outside of some of the most famous ones.
Right. But well, yeah, the little one off menu. The best one sort of off menu. Gotcha.
Yeah. So I want to bring up a Pacino movie, mm-hmm. which is called Scarecrow, and it stars Gene Hackman and Al Pacino as two guys kind of on the road, and it really never gets spoken about. And, you know, I love Al Pacino. I love all, you know, Scarface is one of my favorite.
Of course.
I love all I love Godfather 1 and 2. But, and there's all the other ones. And you can bring up Robert De Niro all the time. It's a great debate. But there's a movie called Scarecrow with Gene Hackman and Al Pacino.
Okay.
And there's no explosions, and it's not like, you know, Fast and Furious, whatever, like Kenneth Walker and all that stuff that, you know, it's old. It's in the 70s. It's a 70s movie, but it's really...
Well, you're talking about two greats there. I mean, Pacino and Hackman. Now, yeah, I will be honest with you. I've never heard of it, but I will. I'm looking it up right now. It's not one... Because there are movies that I haven't seen where I said, oh, yeah, no, I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it. I'll be honest with you. I've never even heard of it.
It's deep. There's a lot of like kind of funny spots. There's some comedy spots. Mm-hmm. There's some deep spots. There's some, you know, like internal moments for both characters who are obviously two of the best actors.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, exactly. Those two guys for sure are timeless. I appreciate the call, Dan. Yeah. I don't even feel, it sounds like that's one of those movies where I don't feel bad about not knowing about it. Not even just that it's before my time, but yeah, it feels like it's a little bit off menu. Because you think about the catalog of both guys, Hackman and Pacino, and I've just never heard of Scarecrow being attached to either one of them. Speaking of crows, The Crow is one of my favorite movies of all time. I don't even know if you'd call it. It's definitely a... What do they call that when it's a cult classic? That's the word I'm looking for. The Crow is definitely in that category.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.